Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. My name is Fred Flight, substituting for Frank Gaffney. My next guest is Arthur Millick, Associate Director of the Heritage Foundation's Beat Kenneth Simon Center for Principles and Politics. He has written for the Daily Signal, National Review, and NationalAffairs.com. He also previously worked with the House Armed Services Committee. Arthur, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You've written something interesting recently called Civility and Rebarbarization. And I got to tell you that civility is something there is quite a lack of in this town right now, with both Republicans and Democrats accusing each other of treason, and Democrats saying all sorts of unbelievably negative things about the president and the Republicans. So tell us about your article and how we might think about it in terms of what's going on in Washington right now.
Sure. So we often use this word today, civility, and the opposite of which is incivility. And they sort of mean politeness and not politeness. In other words, can we, in a kind of superficial way, get along with one another? So that's sort of the public context of what we mean. But this word has a deeper meaning, and it is part of a tradition of political philosophy that has thought through what kind of a human being is suited to be ruled by laws. And that kind of human being is civilized. He possesses civility. And the opposite of civility is barbarism. That is a human being, according to this, again, very long tradition of political philosophy, that is not suited to be ruled by laws. And so when we talk about civility in the sort of DC context, I think we slightly miss the mark. Civility as a concept is a sort of a civilizational level concept, and not just about getting along. When we say civility and incivility, we're talking about really kind of partisan politics. Can we find a compromise? Do we get very angry with one another? But beneath it is this deeper concept, as I'm saying.
Well, I got to tell you, having worked in Washington for 25 years, my experience with the idea of civility and compromise usually means that Republicans doing what the Democrats want. That for Democrats, civility means going along with them. And I've just seen this over and over again. And that whenever Republicans challenge the foreign policy establishment, they're accused of being incivil and of upsetting the political arrangement in Washington that keeps things running. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's true. And that sort of broadly points, I think, to the net gains and losses that one can calculate of the right versus the left over the past 40 years. I think that basically the right continues year by year, inch by inch, to cede ground to the left, and we always lose the moral high ground. We are constantly deformed by political correctness. We are incapable of really stating our position, and we only can state our position or what's good for the country once it's almost too late. I think immigration is basically the best example of that. Nobody had talked about this in any kind of real or forceful way in terms of how immigration can transform a culture, can change a nation, in terms of the problems of sovereignty and the rule of law. Nobody really talked about this in any strong way over the past 20 years until basically the last 12 months or so. And the reason is because conservatives, Republicans, had been deformed year after year, on the one hand by the kind of oligarchic rule of the Republican Party and their desire for cheap labor, but really, on the other hand, a genuine fear of the left in being called a xenophobe, a racist, being clamped down generally by political correctness. And so that's the partial explanation of why we cede inch by inch, year after year, so much ground.
You know, I really see this on Capitol Hill. There's this effort to be bipartisan, to have congressional reports that have no dissenting view, to basically have some type of consensus. And I got to tell you, time after time, every time these consensus reports are put out, it seems that the conservative views have been crossed out. And what's left is, frankly, pablum dictated by country club, middle of the road Republicans and the Democrats who gave up nothing.
Right. It's always the safe position, and it's almost always the case that the safe position is incoherent with the common good, or a kind of what would be gained by gaming out the next 50 or 60 years of what it would take to sustain our republic. And the reason is because, look, at one point, the Senate was designed to be totally liberated from public opinion. They would be indirectly elected. And the cause of that was to maintain a kind of aristocratic element in our regime that is insulated from day-to-day passions. The trouble is, today, there's no such thing anymore, not just in the Senate, but anywhere. Everything is controlled by public opinion. Everything is dependent on public opinion. And therefore, the question comes in, you know, where in our nation, where in the federal government, is there a unassailably strong element that is free to think about the common good and to act strongly on it? And there isn't such a thing. And because the general trend in liberal democracy is toward more liberalism, towards softening and weakening, towards more of a kind of the rule of the tastes of the public governed by a kind of new elite, where would there be opposition to any of the things that you mentioned? And so it's this kind of slow, gradual creep because there's no longer really an institution to oppose it.
You know, in my view, civility in D.C. is in some ways a straitjacket on conservative thinkers who want to think outside the box. And Donald Trump, and I think now Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, I think they have taken a different approach. They're throwing this to the winds because they think that their position basically is being blocked out by the mainstream media and the foreign policy establishment and basically the people in Washington who push this political correctness. Do you see Trump and Nunes as challenging this system?
Totally. This is a Nunes is a smaller character in this drama, but just to focus on Trump for a second, this is clearly a rebellion against, I mean, we use this word establishment. It's not clear what it means. It means a lot of things. But one way to characterize it is a kind of trans-party elite unity that is often in conflict with the interests of the American public. And that the Trump phenomena is a rebellion against that. There's no question about it. The problem with these kinds of rebellions is that they happened when it's either too late or almost too late. And that's why they're always so dramatic. That's why Trump, at every step he makes, in the most, smallest of steps he makes, there's always this kind of fanatical opposition to him. And the partial reason for that is that these elites who have ruled for the past 30, 40, maybe 50 years so soundly without any kind of interruption, have lived sort of luxuriant, unopposed lives, have never had a genuine opposition to them. As you said, everybody just kind of agrees behind closed doors. And when these reports come out, the result is a kind of neutral non-opinion. And so the reason that the Trump revolution is so strong and so obvious to all eyes is that there has been a new unification of middle of America who has felt oppressed for a very long time, who has not had any kind of institutional support or genuine representation of their opinion of what they feel, and now has a kind of unity between the executive and themselves. And it comes out so strongly, so loudly, even so vulgarly to some degree, because it has been oppressed for so long.
Well, Arthur, I'm afraid we have to stop there, but this really was a fascinating conversation, and it touches on so many frustrations I've seen through my career in Washington over conservatives giving up their values. So I'd like to thank you very much for coming on our program today. This is Fred Flight substituting for Frank Gaffney on Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in tomorrow.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.